As he writes in this book, and he talks about all the things in life that sometimes when life just doesn't make sense, what do we do as Christians or as believers in God? And you know, he starts off with chapter one. He says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Everything that we do in life," he says, "it just seems like it's all for nothing. It's just all in vain because nothing lasts in life." And then he goes to the rest of his book and he talks about when things just doesn't make any sense. And he talks about, you know, trials. He talks about struggles. He talks about hardships. And then when he gets right down to it and he comes to chapter 12 here, he ends up by making this statement. He says, well, here it is. So when everything is all said and done, here is what life is all about. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We're to fear God and keep his commandments. You know, we go through life and we have ups and we have downs and we have good times, we have joyous times, we do things, we work, you know, we make a living, and, you know, we go through struggles in life, but Solomon says when it all comes down to it's just two things: fear God and keep his commands. This is the whole duty of man. Even when everything else doesn't make sense in our lives and in the world around us, we're to keep fearing God and keeping his commandments. Because he says, in the end, God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Solomon says, one day God's going to bring everything into view, everything into judgment, every little thing that we have ever done in our lives. God's going to bring it into judgment, whether it's good or whether it's evil. Every thought, every work, every deed, every word we say, God's going to bring it into judgment. Sometimes we don't think about it that way. Sometimes we think about things and we think, well, nobody saw me do that. Nobody heard me. Well, somebody did. That was God. God brings everything into judgment in the end. And so, you know, so we need to look at that perspective. When it's all said and done, we're to fear God, keep his commands. What does it mean, though, to fear God? We always read that in the Bible. It talks about fearing God. What does that word fear? Does that mean that we're to be deathly afraid of God? That we're to cower back and forth every time we hear his name or mention his name? No, what that word fear means actually means is to hold in high esteem or high reverence. That's what that word literally means. That we're to revere God and his word and his commands. We're to revere God. Proverbs 14:27 says this: the fear of the Lord is a wellspring of life, to avoid the snares of death. The fear of the Lord is a wellspring of life. And if you go through the book of Proverbs, Solomon has a lot of wonderful sayings in there, a lot of proverbs in there from life and from the things that he's experienced. And he talks about the fear of God being a wellspring of life. When we revere God, when we honor God, it's like a wellspring of life within us. Now, Solomon was a pretty smart guy. You know, when Solomon became king, God came to Solomon one night in a dream and says, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? And Solomon says, I want wisdom. I want to know how to lead these people. So he said, I'm just a child. He said, I don't know what I'm doing as a king. I want wisdom. And God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you riches and things that goes along with that of being wise. And the Bible says of Solomon that there never was a wiser king before Solomon, and there never will be a wiser person after Solomon. So you know what that means, don't you? We're a bunch of dummies. No, I'm just teasing. I know some of you are very smart. But you know, Solomon's the wisest person that ever lived on the face of this earth. And Solomon says some pretty good things. And you know, and he said, the fear of the Lord is a wellspring of life to avoid the snares of death. In Christ we have everlasting life. In reverence to God we have everlasting life. Proverbs 4:13 says this, take hold of instruction and leave not. Keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs 9:12, this says, if you become wise, you will become wise for yourself. And if you become a scorner of wisdom, you alone will suffer. Proverbs 1:7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or the beginning of wisdom. You reverence God. You fear God. You trust God. You obey God. It's the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You despise wisdom, you despise instruction, you're pretty much a fool. Because God put those two things in place to teach us, to instruct us. But we're to fear God. We're to reverence God. We to hold high esteem the Lord our God. It says, if you become wise, that is good for yourself, but if you become a scorner of wisdom, you alone will suffer. See, when we scorn wisdom, we suffer. When we don't take instruction, we suffer. How many, you know, Christmas season is coming up. How many of you dads, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but you get a toy for your child. And it comes in a box. And you open up the box, it says, some assembly required. And you open up the box and there's a bunch of of parts. And it's more than just some assembly. It's like got to put the whole thing together. And then you find the instructions, and they're written in Chinese or German or something, and you're trying to figure this thing out. Or how many times you think that, well, this can't be so bad, and you start putting it together, and all of a sudden part doesn't come together, part doesn't do this, part doesn't do that, and you try to put the thing together. And then your wife comes in and sees you struggling. And she asked one simple question. Did you read the instructions? You know, sometimes we need the instructions. When we scorn the instructions, we suffer because of it. You know, God has given us instructions to live by. It's called the Bible. But how many of us scorn the Bible or scorn instruction? And because of that, we suffer because of it. So I don't scorn the Bible. I said, I love God's word. Well, if you love God's word, how come the only time you open it up is on Sunday mornings? See, that's scorning God's word. If you love God's word, why don't you read it every day? If you love God's word, why aren't you obeying it every day? See, when you're not reading it, when you're not obeying it, you're scorning God's word, you're scorning his wisdom, you're scorning his instruction. And as a result, you're going to suffer from it. But what does it mean to fear God? Number one, it means to hate sin. To have the same mindset as God toward sin. See, we live in a very perverse generation, a perverse world in this day and age. And it takes men and women to stand up to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be. And we have too many Christians today, excuse me, that are living like the world. We have too many Christians today that come to church on Sunday morning and they put on their Christian mask and their Christian clothes, but the rest of the week, they're living like the devil. We have too many Christians today that are living the way you can't tell them from worldly people and that they are a Christian. You know what's sad? We got some people out there that are lost and dying and going to hell that are living more of a righteous life than what some Christians are, so-called Christians are. You see, we need to have the same mindset as God has towards sin, and that is to hate sin. Proverbs 23:17-18 says this, "Let not your heart be envious against sinners, but let it be in the fear of the Lord continually. For surely there is an end, and your hope will not be cut off." In other words, Solomon is saying here that we shouldn't be envious against sinners. We shouldn't be envious that somebody that doesn't go to church or somebody that blasphemes the name of God. We shouldn't be envious of them if they seem like that they are prospering and we are struggling. We shouldn't be envious because they got a new car and we didn't. And we're driving one that's being held together by baling wire and duct tape. We shouldn't be envious because they have a nice house and we don't. We shouldn't be envious that they have a nicer job than what we do. But it says, let it be in the fear of the Lord continually is where our mindset should be. We shouldn't worry about them. We shouldn't be envious about them. Why? Because Solomon says, for surely there is an end. End is coming. Their life is going to be over one of these days. But he says, and your hope will not be cut off. We have a hope in Christ Jesus. We have a hope of an eternal home. We have a hope of an eternal life. They don't have a hope. They have a false hope. And one day it's going to be over with. And one day they're going to stand before God. And they are going to be judged. Proverbs 23:32 says this, in the end thereof it will bite like a serpent and hurt like a viper. That's what sin will do to you. Sin will do that to you. Sin's like playing with a snake. You can play with a snake all you want to, but one of these days it's going to turn around and bite you. I know some people that had snakes for pets. They could have them. Me, my philosophy is kill first and find out what kind it is later. But a snake, sin is just like that way. It may be fun for a while. That's what the Bible says. You have pleasure in due season. But then it brings about destruction. Sin may be fun for a while, but it's going to destroy you. It's going to turn around and bite you. It's going to turn around and hurt you. And we're to hate sin. Proverbs 24:20 says this, "For there will be no future to the evil man. The light of the wicked will be put out." There is no future for someone who sins. Their light's going to be put out one of these days. Proverbs 5:22 says this, "And his own iniquities will capture the wicked himself, and he will be bound with cords of his own sin." You get into sin, sin will bind you. Sin will wrap its cords around you and strangle you to where you can't get out of it. Pastor Jimmy and I talk with people a lot that are so wrapped up in the sin, and it seems like they can't get away from it. They can't get away from sin because sin has so, and they want to clean their lives up. But sin has such a hold on them that it's hard for them to get away from that sin. We see it in drug addicts. We see it in alcoholics. We see it in others. Pornography, in other words, where sin just has a death grip on them. At my former church, when we had a clothing store, people would come in and we'd give away clothing and other items to them that people would donate. Had a young lady come in, and she was probably in her late 20s. And I mean, she was skinny as a rail. But she would come in every once in a while, and she would get things. And I remember one time she came in there into the basement of the church, and I mean, she looked like death warmed over. Her eyes were kind of sunken back, and you know, black rings around her eyes and stuff, and she came in, she was crying. I asked her, I said, what's the problem? And she said, they just, welfare people just came in and said, they took my son away from me. And that was probably the best thing to happen to that kid. Well, we prayed about it, and I talked to her a little bit, and she told me this. She said, "Pastor," said, "if I could have," said, "8 years ago, when I took those first pills, if I could have looked in the mirror ahead 8 years and see what I look like today," said, "I never would have took that first pill." You see, that's what sin does. It may seem like just a little bit. Yeah, I get a high. But before you know it, it has its arms, it has its grips around you. And it won't let go. It won't let go. You ever see these shows one time, got these boa constrictors? It will wrap itself around an animal and just start to squeeze, and it will squeeze the very life out of that animal. That's what sin does. It just squeezes the life out of you. But I'm here to tell you, though, maybe you're here like that today and you feel like sin's just squeezing the life out of you. But I'm here to tell you, there's one stronger than sin. There's one that can break the bonds of sin. There's one that can break the strongholds of sin. His name is Jesus. All you have to do is come to him. and He can break the chains and the bonds of sin. Secondly, in order to fear God, it means to learn from others. Learn from others that are fearing God. Learn from others that are obeying God. Solomon tells his son in Proverbs 5:1, he said, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel." He's telling his son to pay attention to what he's learning. Now, if I had Solomon for a dad, I would love that. My dad, the smartest dad in the whole world. I could learn a lot from a dad like that. Solomon's saying, son, pay attention. Listen carefully. In other words, he's telling us, too, that we need to listen carefully to wise counsel. Now, me and Pastor Jim, we don't have all the answers. But we know somebody who does. That's Jesus. And we can give you answers out of the Bible and what the Bible says. But seek wise counsel. Pay attention. Proverbs 14:27, Solomon says this, "The fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain that offers escape from the snares of death," which we just read earlier. Proverbs 6:21-22 says this, "Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. Wherever you walk, their counsel can lead you. When you are asleep, they will protect you. When you wake up in the morning, they will advise you." What's interesting about Proverbs chapter 6 is this is Solomon again talking to his son. This is Solomon talking his mother and talking to his son. And he says this in the first part of that chapter. In chapter 6, he says, "My son, you be surety for your friend. If you have stricken thy hand with a stranger, you are snared with words of your mouth. You are taken in the words of your mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver yourself when you are come to the hand of your friend. Go humble yourself." In other words, he's telling them, make sure you choose the right friends. Don't choose the wrong friends because they'll steer you wrong. If you read on further down in that chapter, if you look in verse 20 of that chapter, he says, in chapter 6, he says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them carefully continually upon your heart and tie them around your neck." He says to listen to the words of your mother and your father. Let me tell you something, young people, teenagers, I know we don't have children in here, but teenagers, and sometimes college kids, listen to your mom and dad. They know what they're talking about. I know sometimes you may think they don't know what they're talking about. But let me tell you something. Mom and dads have been there. They've been through believe it or not, they've been through the teenage years. They used to be a teenager. Believe it or not, I used to be a teenager at one time, back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth. But they know what they're talking about. Listen to your mom and dad. Don't scorn their instruction. Listen to them. They know what they're talking about. You know, we got a Heavenly Father, too, that knows what He's talking about. How many times, though, do we scorn His word? How many times do we scorn His instruction? How many times do we not listen to Him? He says there, keep their words always in your heart. We're to keep God's word in our heart. That's why David wrote in Psalms 119, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee." You know what? how to fight temptation, hide God's word in your heart. Tie them around your neck. Wherever you walk, their counsel may lead you. In other words, take God's word with you wherever you go. Take it with you. It'll act as your counsel. It says, when you sleep, they will protect you. What's the last thing you do before you go to sleep at night? Do you read God's word? Or when you get up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Do you pray or do you read God's word? Or you get up, start stumbling, trying to find the coffee pot and the coffee maker so you can have that first cup of coffee. See, God's word, we can learn a lot from God's word. We can learn a lot from other people. That's why we come to church on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night and Sunday night. That's why we have Sunday school, so we can learn how to fear God, how to reverence God. And thirdly and lastly, learn how to fear God from Him Himself, from Jesus. Jesus says this in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to the people who believed in Him, you are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus says, you are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. And what did we first read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 at the start of this is, let us hear at the end of all, fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the duty of man. We're to keep His commandments. And Jesus says, you are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. Why? Because you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from the bondage of sin in your life. And he goes on to say in verse 34 and 36 of John chapter 8, he says, I assure you that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will indeed be free. Like I said earlier, sin enslaves you. Sin binds you. Sin holds you in a death grip. But there's one mightier than sin, and that is Jesus Christ. And when He sets you free, you're free indeed. The only way you can get out of that bondage, the only way you can get out of that grip of sin is to come to Christ and ask Him for forgiveness and ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior and your Lord. And once He breaks the grips of sin in your life, you're free indeed. Because as Solomon says, when it all comes down to, in the end, is that we need to fear God and keep His commands, for this is the whole duty of man. For in the end, God will bring every work into judgment, whether it's good or whether it's evil. Question is, when you look back over your life and you see where it's going, what is God thinking about your life? Are you fearing God? Are you revering God and keeping His commands? Or are you not? Because in the end, when it's all said and done, how is God going to look at your life? Are you living your life for Him? Or are you living your life for the devil? See, you only got two masters in this world. You got Jesus, you got the devil. You say, well, I don't know about that. He said, I'm my own master. No. You only got two in this world, Jesus or the devil. Which one are you serving? Are you a slave to sin? Are you a slave to the devil? Why don't you come to Christ today? Let him set you free and live your life for him. Are you living your life for Christ, doing what he wants you to do? Serving him faithfully? That's where you need to be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, when we come to you today, we look over our lives and we search deep into our hearts, and I just ask that your Holy Spirit will search deep into our hearts. I just pray, dear Father, that we'll look to see where we stand, because when it's all said and done, you will have the final say. And I just pray, dear Father, someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, their life, that maybe are bound in sin and just seems like there's no way out, let them see that there is a way out. And that is through you, because once you set them free, they are free indeed. And I just pray, dear Father, that you bless this time as we give an invitation. In Jesus' name, we